thankful I know him.
Amen.
Turn to Romans chapter number 12. If you would, Romans chapter 12. Now, I understand I grew up in an independent Baptist church, in an independent Baptist preacher's home. And so I've been sheltered in that way. And, you know, I've worked out in the world and, you know, you go to the gas station, you go to the grocery store, and you hear secular music and music about all kind of stuff. And I understand I didn't grow up in that part of the world over in the Middle East, but I've never heard one song about Buddha. I've never heard one song about Muhammad. Now, I've heard songs about rednecks that lost their trucks and their car and their wife and their dog. Those are a dime a dozen. Amen. I've heard songs about people beating on their wives and... Amen. I've heard one song about those, about Muhammad or Buddha or Ishmael. Never heard one, but there's thousands upon thousands of songs about Jesus. Amen. That ought to tell you something. Amen. Why? Because he died for us. And he was buried and rose again. Their gods, when they die, that's it. They're done. They're not writing songs about them. There's people still writing songs today about Jesus and what he means to them. We were there this past week, the Ellis family. What a blessing that family is. And God has blessed them with being able to write songs. Brother Daniel's daughter sang two songs she wrote. Man, God was all over it. You know what she was writing? What God had done for her. Brother Ellis talked about the fact that Miss Melanie wrote that song yesterday. You guys know that song yesterday? She wrote that song, and he's like, I was in a meeting, and a family got up, and they sang that song, and they didn't even know who I was. They don't even know who Melanie is. And, you know, not a problem. God's using that song all over. He said, but I was sitting upstairs in my bedroom when I heard a young lady downstairs singing that song for the first time, just weeping about God saving her and about all the sin. And when she goes to God, he said, that was yesterday. Amen. And so I'm thankful that we have a God that we can sing about. When we sing these songs, don't ever let it be just lip service, going through the motions. One of the reasons we're doing the a cappella song, it's not just trying to do a new routine. But man, so these hymns are powerful. And sometimes you need to stop. We stop the piano playing, and I appreciate my wife playing the piano. And sometimes we need to stop all that and think about what we're singing. Think about him. Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1. I started a couple weeks ago. God put a thought on my heart, and this thing has developed into something as I begin to study it. And I want to look at it for a few more minutes this morning. Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we find this great passage of Scripture where we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago that Paul had just finished describing, explaining what the cross of Calvary meant to the Gentiles, to the church. And this morning in Sunday school, we examined chapter number 11 just for a moment about Israel's position in this thing, and that God's not through with the nation of Israel, and the church is being saved by grace through faith now to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. We just looked at chapter 11 this morning in Sunday school. And as soon as Paul gets done describing those things, the very first verse of chapter 12, verse 1, deals with this subject of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He explains to the church at Rome that salvation is a free gift. Over and over and over again, salvation is a free gift. So up until this point in the book of Romans, he's explaining all these things. And from this point forward, through the rest of the book of Romans, He's trying to tell you, because of salvation being a free gift, because of what God did for you, because of this mystery time period, because of God provoking the nation of Israel to jealousy, because God's done all these things for you, now here's what you can do for Him. So he spends the rest of his life dealing with that very thing. Some practical matters in the life of a Christian on how we ought to live as a child of God. And I'm thankful this morning that I can't go to hell. I can't. He saved me and He sealed me unto the day of redemption. And I'm thankful for that this morning, and you ought to be also. We cannot go to hell. But He's asked us something this morning. We began to look at it a couple weeks ago. He's asked us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifices in the Old Testament dealt with worship. Every sacrifice was some form of worship, of worshiping God. We come together and we sing. When we come together and open the Bible and study the Bible, we're worshiping God in a sort. Amen. We're giving reverence and honor to His Word. And as we sing, as we take up pennies for paces and our tithes and offerings go into the box, every time we do that, it is a form of worship. And God's asked us to do those things. As we present our bodies a living sacrifice, every time we come to church and we bring our tithes and put them in the box, that's us giving back to God what He's asked. You understand this morning that we belong to Him? And I'm going to look at those verses in a few minutes. And God could ask you to give 90% to Him. And you keep 10. He could ask us that. But God said, no, if a collection of believers would come together in a local New Testament church and everybody did their part of 10% and you keep the 90, then God could use that and bless the church. Amen. That's what He's asked. That's not unreasonable. Amen? And so God asks us to do that. So we come, and when we put our tithes in the box, we don't pass a plate here at the church. Amen? Except for special offerings, but we don't pass a plate. God loveth a cheerful giver. Yeah. Amen? And if we're taking up offerings with a gun on our side, you're not very cheerful to give it. Now these kids are going to get an offering for pennies for paces. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. But God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants you to want to do it. We don't pass a plate. Amen. I don't ever want a visitor to come to this church and leave and say all they talk about is money. But can I tell you, Christ talked a whole lot about money in the New Testament. He talked a lot about it. We don't mention it very often. Amen. But it's not unreasonable for God to ask you to tithe. And it's not unreasonable for God to ask you to give missions. When you write your tithe check out, or you drop it in there, or send it through PayPal, or whatever you do, you're worshiping God by saying, Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You for what You did for me. And I know You've asked me to do this, and I'll gladly do it for You. And then missions goes a step further. Pennies for paces goes a step further. Amen. And I know that when this thing of giving and this thing of worshiping God, it goes beyond just money, but that's all a part of it. In the Old Testament, at the temple, the people would come and they would give their items and give the things for the building of the temple, and they would bring sacrifices, and some of those sacrifices were meant to be burned up for God as a sweet-smelling savor, and some of the sacrifices were given so that the temple could keep running. So that the priests could eat, and so that the things of the temple could be taken care of. But when the people brought it, they brought it in obedience to God as a form of worship to Him. So when you come to church and you give your tithe and you give your mission, you're honoring and obeying God. Amen? Some folks, they must not honor or appreciate Him very much. Amen? Thank you, Brother Bowen, for helping me out. I mean, I figure since I killed it to start off with, none of this is even in my notes. But it's a form of worship. When you come to Sunday school and want to learn God's Word, it's a form of worship. You know why? You're giving honor and reverence to the Word of God. And that's a form of worship. The only thing that God has exalted higher than the name of His Son Jesus is His Word. So when you honor His Word by coming and learning about the book, and when you can, coming on Wednesday nights during Bible studies and things, you're honoring and worshiping God Because you're magnifying something that He magnifies, and that's His Word. When we sing a song in the song service, and you stand up and we're singing, and if you actually put your heart and your mind into what we're singing, you're worshiping Him. They're called hymns. And so all these things that we do in a church service, I believe that the majority of the folks that come to church here as a majority on Sunday mornings, they come with a desire to worship God. Sunday school attendance was good this morning, amen? Singing at our church. I love the song services at our church. I love preaching at our church. I mean, as I get the opportunity to go preach in other churches, I'm thankful for our church. I'd rather preach here than anywhere. I'm thankful for that. And that's because there's a group of Bible believers that believe the Bible and they want to worship God and they're not afraid to amen and they're not afraid to get in on the service, and I'm thankful to be able to preach here. So I believe that on Sundays and Wednesdays, when we come together, we're fulfilling this verse. But are we doing it on Monday? And Tuesday? And Wednesday? Amen? God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and it's not just on Sundays. And so last 2 weeks ago, we looked at the challenge of this thing of worshiping God in this manner, and that challenge was presenting your bodies. That's the challenge. Amen? Because it takes a lot for a man or a woman to say, God, I'm yours, do whatever you want to do with it. Why? Because we want to do what we want to do. I said yesterday, Brother Ellis, as I was preaching yesterday afternoon on how to hold up the hands of your pastor, and I'm preaching that message, and, you know, people sometimes they'll come and say, Preacher, we wanted to be there. And my response is, no, you didn't. And they said, well, we did. We wanted to be there. No, you didn't. If you wanted to be there, you would be there. You say, well, I was providentially hindered. I understand sickness and things like that. I get that. But I'm saying if there's something you want to do, you'll do it. You'll go at great lengths to do it. I talked to a preacher the other day, him and his family, and they were driving 2 hours away. 2 hours. I said, where are you going? Why are you going all the way up there? There's a restaurant we heard about. Oh, y'all laugh. Some of y'all have done the same thing. Amen. Taking that great long journey to go to a restaurant. But 45 minutes to the church is too far. For some people, amen. Amen. And so they say, well, preacher, I wanted to be there. And I understand if there's people sick, stay home. I'm tired of all this stuff spreading, amen. But that's not always the case. There was something else you wanted to do more. Amen? That's just the truth. That's just the truth of it. And so the challenge is presenting your bodies. And when it talks about presenting your bodies, it's talking about your flesh. It's talking about public enemy number one, your flesh. So we looked at that. And this morning I want to look at, we saw the challenge, but I want to look at this morning the cause. The cause. Are y'all still with me? A few minutes here. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. This is the cause this morning. Amen. We were redeemed. We were bought back. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. By His mercies. I understand God brought salvation to the Gentile to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. We talked about that this morning, but thank God for it. You know what we deserve this morning? We don't deserve to be sitting in here this morning. We don't deserve salvation free by grace through faith. We don't deserve to be in this building this morning, dressed up, here to worship God. We don't deserve any of that. It's by the mercies of God. He's not asking you to present yourself a living, holy sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking you to do that for nothing. And He's not asking you to do it on your own. It's by the mercies of God. When we submit ourselves to God, we are then giving Him what already belongs to Him. Do you understand? Before you got saved, you were on your way to hell. Everlasting torment, everlasting fire, damnation for eternity. That's where you were headed. You were on the road there, a slippery slope, before the day that you got saved. And God saved you by His mercies. And then in return asked you to give Him what already belongs to Him. And Paul said, that's your reasonable service. By the mercies of God, that's the cause. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, I believe what God has shown me to preach, is when we think about this thing of presenting our bodies and living a holy life. There's a lot of problems in a local church today and in God, amongst God's people, but one of the greatest is personal holiness. The subject I'm preaching about this morning, holy living. That's one of the greatest problems. But see, that people have the wrong idea about why we do what we do. And I've preached on this a few times here recently, but I believe God showed me through some of this stuff, an explanation about it, and they don't understand why we do it. Get called legalists, get called all these other kind of things, but I'm telling you that there's a good reason why we try to live to please the Lord. There's a good reason. It's by the mercies of God. That's how the verse started that we just read, by the mercies of God. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Not just going straight into, you need to live a holy life that's pleasing to God, but he starts off and says, by the mercies of God. That's why you should do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You understand this morning, church, and you might know these things. This is just a reminder that God bought you with a price with His blood. But He did it because He loved you and because He wanted to protect you. God wanted to spare you from a place called hell. God wanted to spare you from a lifetime of misery. God wanted to spare you from all the dangers of this world, from all the wickedness. He wanted you to be spared from that. So by the mercies of God, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that He could save you, so that He could protect you. How many, don't raise your hand this morning, know of somebody, maybe or maybe it's happened in your family, that there's a child in their family that continues to make bad decisions, and the parents do everything they can to protect that child and to try to bail them out of trouble, and they try to help them and they try to give them money and give them a place to live, but that child continues and continues to rebel and continues to disobey and continues to do all these things to bring shame to his mother and father. Sure, everybody in here knows of people like that. Maybe even in your own home that happens. And the parents continually try to get them to do right and live right. And nothing changes the fact that that son has a father. And he has a mother. Regardless of what society wants us to teach today, you have to have a man and a woman to have a child. I saw the other day this man that kept referring to another man as his husband. Okay? You say, well, that's nothing. We hear that all the time. Yeah, his husband was pregnant with a child. Okay? Here's the dilemma. That's not a man. And I want to tell you that a man just broke the Jeopardy record. It wasn't a woman. Fox News Fair and Balanced just lied to everybody. Amen? Y'all getting quiet on me. But what I'm getting at is that happens with a child in a home, but the same thing happens with God. If you're saved, you're His. But you can make decisions, and you can do wrong, and you can choose not to give yourself to Him. And choose not to protect the name that He's given you. The name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And you could choose rather to have the fame of the world, to have the acceptance of the world, to have the acceptance of family, than to be named with Jesus Christ. Even though you're saved, you're bought with a price. God is asking in Romans chapter 12, that you, that He bought with a price by the mercies of God, would give yourself back to Him. And so we think about why do we do the things and why do we preach some of the things we preach? It's because of the mercies of God. Hey, I said it earlier, I am not going to hell. If you're saved in here this morning, you're not going to hell. There's nothing you can do to go to hell. He did it for you. He conquered death, hell, and the grave and came up again. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the next chapter over, verse number 23. I'm trying to get you to see this morning this thing of worshiping God by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm trying to see the cause, the reason why we do that. The reason why we give Him anything and everything in our life is because He was good to us. Because He bought us, He purchased us. It's His mercies. By the mercies of God, we do this that we do. Not for fame, not for popularity, not to get up and rule with an iron fist and say, bless God, you better do it this way. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with God's been good and His mercies. That's why we ought to do it, to please Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 23. The Bible said, you are bought with a price. So, be not ye the servants of men. Don't be a man pleaser. Amen. You're bought with a price. Say, well, they won't understand. If they don't understand, they're severely backslidden or they're lost. Because a carnal man will not understand. A natural man, the old man, an unlost man will not understand. If there's Christians that come to me and say, well, I don't know why you guys do all that. Amen. I have right, based off the authority of the Word of God, to wonder if they're saved. Well, if you don't understand why I'm doing this, I mean, are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you been bought with a price? Because the Bible said the natural man understandeth not the things of God. They think they're foolishness. There's people that think it's foolish that we show up to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Wednesday night. We just had a Bible conference. We're here till midnight. We showed up on Saturday. We showed up on Sunday. We got a revival coming up. We drove to Mississippi for a meeting. People say, why do you do that? I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Amen. And people say, well, I just don't understand that. And I'll say, well, I'll pray for you that you get saved. Well, I go down to the First Baptist Church. I'll pray that you get saved. Well, I go to Independent Baptist Church. I'll pray that you get saved. Amen. I have reason to believe that maybe you're not saved. That's between you and God, but the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. We don't understand why you dress that way. We don't understand why you make these decisions. We don't understand why we can't watch the wicked movies in our home and have that music. We don't understand why you haven't done those things. If they're lost, of course they're not going to understand. You say, well, maybe they are saved. Well, they don't know the Spirit of God. They don't know the Scriptures. So the cause is by the mercies of God. I'm going to tell you this morning, it is not unreasonable for God to ask for our bodies to serve Him. He bought us. We belong to Him by the mercies of God. Some of you got saved later on in life. Some of you got saved when you were younger. I was saved at 9 years old. But I want to tell you, before I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was going to hell just like a 60-year-old man that lived a wicked life that never got saved. I was going to burn in the same hell next to that man. I was going to burn in hell just like the Christ rejecter. And when He saved me from hell. You got saved later on in life, guess what? You were saved from hell. You were saved from hell. And the moment you got saved, He saved you from sin. What does that mean? Sin no longer has you in bondage. People say, I can't quit smoking. I can't quit drinking. If that is the truth, you're not saved. Because the moment you got saved, that chain of sin was broke. You say, well, why do saved people smoke? Why do saved people drink? Why do saved people listen to things they shouldn't? That's because their flesh chooses that over God. It's simple. It's not that complicated. And I know people that smoked their whole life after they got saved. And the truth was they could quit. They kept saying, well, I can't quit. I could. Well, if that's the truth, then they weren't saved. But I know people that were saved and they loved God, but they just smoked until the day they died. The truth was their flesh loved it, and that's what they chose. Because I know testimonies of people that had the same problem, and they said, you know what, I want God more than that. And next thing you know, they stopped and never sucked on another one ever again. Ever again. What happened? They could put it down and they could quit cold turkey because they gave it to God and no longer were they in bondage to that thing. There's people every day, children of God, that choose to follow their flesh rather than choose God. But by the mercies of God, when you got saved, you're no longer in bondage to sin. Amen. I believe if you sin today after salvation, you do it on purpose. Before salvation, people that sin, they can't help it. That guy that has to have the liquor and has to have the cigarettes and has to have the marijuana, he has to have all those things. That's what he has to have to live. Because he's in bondage to that thing. But Christ freed us from that. He freed us from Satan and from sin. He freed you from yourself. Aren't you thankful for that? Has anybody besides me ever looked in the mirror and said, you're an idiot? Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. I've done it recently. You're an idiot. I won't point at any of you or anybody on the camera. I'm looking in a mirror. Amen. You know what God did? He freed me from myself. I let this old flesh get in the way sometimes, and you do too. But I'm telling you this morning, Christ freed you from that. Why do we present our bodies a living sacrifice to worship God? Because the cause, the mercies of God. Paul understood his position was by the mercy and grace of God. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The cause of us presenting our bodies as a form of worship to God. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 10. Look what Paul said. I wish everybody in this room, including myself, would just get a hold of this. Paul said, but, are y'all there? I still heard pages turning. 15 verse 10, 1 Corinthians. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know what Paul understood that we need to get a hold of this morning? By the mercies of God. By the grace of God. So when you get up in the morning on Monday and you make a decision of either the flesh or following after something you know will please God or displease God, you make that decision because of the mercies of God. The Bible said that the goodness of God should lead His people to repentance. Not that God comes down with a hammer, but because we realize His grace and mercy and say, Lord, I want to do right because You've been good to me. Has he not been good to you? I mean, you should be able to preach about the goodness of God. We sing about it. We should be able to preach about it and not just be, he's preaching on the goodness of God again. I'm telling you, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. The reason, the cause is because the mercies of God. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Let me give you an Old Testament illustration of this and I'll close. Lamentations chapter number 3. I say this all the time and I mean it. I love my Bible. And I love the God of my Bible. I know people that know the Bible, but they don't know God. And I know people that know God, and they don't know the Bible. Amen? I want to be one of those that know the Bible, but I know the God of the Bible. Amen? Lamentations chapter 3. Look at this illustration of what, this Old Testament illustration of what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. Jeremiah was this man, the lamenting prophet, cried for the nation of Israel, for the sin of his people. I mean, he was in bitterness and tears his whole ministry. Lived a hard life, but he belonged to God. And he presented his body a living sacrifice to God. God called him to preach, to be a prophet unto the nation of Israel. Before he was ever born, that was God's will for his life. God told him he could never marry. Man, I thank God for my wife. Hey, amen. I enjoyed spending a couple days with Brother Bowen, but I miss my wife. Hey, amen. And just for the sake of everybody watching, we were in separate rooms. Hey, amen. I thank God I was allowed to get married. Hey, amen. Jeremiah was never allowed to do that. And I'm not going to preach all Jeremiah's life. I'm just saying he's a picture of what I'm trying to preach this morning. But he gave himself wholly to serving God. He even tried to quit one time when he was sitting in prison. But he said the word of God was like a burning fire in his bosom. And he couldn't quit. He's like, Lord, I can't quit on you. He presented everything to God to serve him. In Lamentations chapter 3, he begins to describe some of the hard things that he had gone through. Some of the things that God had brought him through. The darkness. The derision. All the lowness and the sin that he had to see his people, the children of Israel, going through, all the iniquity and all the things, and he had to bear all this, the bitterness. And he says here in verse number 18, and I said, Jeremiah speaking, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This is what I want to get you to see this morning. I'm about to close. When it comes to presenting your body a holy sacrifice unto the Lord as a form of worship because of the mercies of God. Jeremiah is going through things that you'll probably never go through. If you're married in here today, you won't go through that. You've been married, amen? You have children. God's been good. Jeremiah didn't even have that, but he gave his life to God. He said in verse 21, this I recall to my mind. And I want you to think about this morning as we preach this message. Therefore I have hope, or have I hope? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is what Jeremiah said of God and his mercy. Every morning when you wake up and the sun rises, it's a picture and a reminder that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave. And it's another day that should be a remembrance of the mercies of God in your life. We should never take the things God's given us for granted. But when he asks you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, except a holy life acceptable unto God, you know what we ought to say? Because of his mercy. Because of his mercy. By the mercies of God. Turn to Psalms 136, last place you'll turn. Let Miss Sarah, you come to the piano. Psalms 136. I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but we're going to look at a couple verses. Psalms chapter 136. When you're there, say amen if you would. Psalms 136, we're finishing. Verse number 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Can we say amen right there? For His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him alone doth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. And then He goes on and starts at the creation of the heaven and earth and says after every verse in that chapter, for His mercy endureth forever. In creation, in leading God's children out of bondage, in delivering them from Egypt, and taking them through the wilderness. That whole chapter recounts this. And He says after every verse, the mercies of God endureth forever. And then He gets down to the last verse, and I know dispensationally talking about Israel here, but man, I tell you, from creation all the way to today, God's mercy endureth forever. Look what He says right here. And hath redeemed us, verse number 24, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh. Can I get amen for Sunday supper? Amen. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Why should you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God? Because His mercy endureth forever. It's by the mercies of God. So when you get up tomorrow and you get home this afternoon and you make decisions as a child of God that is bought with a price, you do not belong to yourself. I wish you would just think about how good God's been to you and choose Him over anything else by the mercies of God. There should be a couple times in your life as a child of God that are a memorial, something that's major. The day that you got saved, there should be a time in every child of God's life she begins to play that you've presented yourself to God. So, Lord, I'm here to serve You. Whatever You want me to do, I'm here to serve You. And I believe many have done that. I've done that. You know, there's times in our life where we take back what belongs to God. We take it back. Maybe this morning that God doesn't have all of you. And I'm going to be preaching on these lines for the next few weeks. And the reason why we do what we do. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe this morning you need to thank God for His mercies. I don't know. If God spoke to your heart, if God spoke to you, I shouldn't have to beg anybody to come and do business with Him. It's by the mercies of God that we're not consumed. By the mercies of God, His mercy endureth forever. By the mercies of God, we present our bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. All by the mercies of God. Many have come this morning. If anybody's here and you want somebody to pray with you, we'll pray with you. Anybody here, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, today could be the day. Maybe you're one of those that just don't understand why we do some of the things we do. I hope this morning you got a better glimpse into why we do. It's because of God's mercies. It's because He desires for us to please Him. You know, all the things God asks you to do as a child of God is for your benefit. Everything He's asked us to do in our body that we'll give an account for the judgment seat of Christ, it's not because He's a mean God. It's because it's for your benefit. He knows you. He made you. Don't resist Him this morning. Don't resist Him if He's speaking to you.
battle of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God surely has been good to us. Amen.